My next guest is on the line. I'm beyond delighted that she has agreed to talk to me. With some luck, she will be the next mayor of Johannesburg. With some luck and some very hard work, I just want to introduce her. She probably needs no introduction whatsoever, but I'm going to do it anyway. She served as chairperson of the Federal Council of the Democratic Alliance since 20th of October 2019. From 2009 until 2019, she was Premier of the Western Cape for 2 5-year terms and a member of the Western Cape Provincial Parliament. She served as Federal Leader of the Democratic Alliance from 2007 to 2015 and Mayor of Cape Town from 2006 to 2009. Helen Ziller, thank you for talking to me on Chai FM this afternoon.
It's a great pleasure, Simon. It's good to be with you and your listeners.
Helen, if your 16-year-old self had heard me read out what I just read out, would she have believed it?
Not a word of it. Not a single word of it. I never planned to go into politics. I never planned to have any such career at all. I mean, I don't even call it a career. I've never thought of politics as a career. I'm trying to make South Africa work. But I would never, ever, ever have imagined that.
It's funny. If I was a betting man, I would have lost my bet. I would have thought you did, but very interesting that you didn't. I want to put you at ease at the beginning. I just want to tell you where I'm not going to go in our discussion this afternoon. I'm not going to the Middle East at all. It has no relevance to what it is that we're going to discuss today, which is saving Joburg. But because it is Chai FM, where I am going to go is I am going to ask you about your Jewish heritage. Are you comfortable talking to it and explaining to what extent it impacted on you or your commitment to liberalism or your belief in human rights? Is there a connection?
I'm happy to talk about that.
I'm waiting.
So you can go right ahead, Simon. Go ahead.
Talk to me. Talk to me. You come from Jewish heritage on both sides, I believe.
Yes. My father's mother was Jewish, and therefore, according to Jewish tradition, he would have been Jewish. Mm-hmm. And my mother's father was Jewish, but her mother wasn't. So that means that my mother, according to the strict, but I have Jewish forebears on both sides. And clearly that played a very major role. Both my parents were refugees from Germany because they took a very strong anti-Hitler stance, obviously. And my father came straight to South Africa with his brother and his mother, and they were very lucky to get out of Germany. And then when my grandfather on my mother's side, he was also Jewish, had their house destroyed in Kristallnacht. Yes. He was imprisoned, and then my grandmother got him out of prison. And they went to England. They were lucky enough to get to England, and my mother trained as a midwife in England and then came to South Africa where my parents met. And clearly they had an abhorrence of any form of discrimination. And they believed that every person should be judged on their merits and their personal values and ideas. And that's what shaped my understanding of the world and my childhood. So I think that that had a lot to do with it.
Yeah, that's exactly actually as I would have expected. I was also wondering to what extent was there anything in your home at all? As you say, you weren't Jewish because it was the wrong grandparents. But
that's right.
Well, I mean, that's a real weird way of saying it, but you know what I mean. Were you bullied at school for it? Were you invited to a Pesach Seder? Was there ever any sort of, I don't know, identification with this tribe, or was it were you completely detribalized in every possible way?
Well, my parents wanted us to have an experience of all religions. My father was, I suppose, agnostic. And my mother had a deep belief in God, but in her own way. Mm-hmm. And my parents were never tribalized in any sense. They were very kind of open-minded liberals, and they wanted to know us to know what every religion taught. And they let us make up our own minds, broadly speaking.
Now let's get on to the important part of this segment, which is the run. Helen, no money in the world would have got me to do what you are doing. Not 500 million deposited into my bank account. Nothing, nothing. You've referred to Johannesburg as broken. Are you doing this because you feel a sense of civic obligation, because you are clearly the only person who can do it? Why are you doing it?
Well, I would never claim to be the only person who can do it. My goodness, no. But I'm one of the few people who are prepared to put my name in the hat to do it. And it's going to be an enormous challenge. And there's no guarantee that I and the team will succeed. I'm obviously not alone. I'll have a wonderful team with me. But we'll give it our best shot. You know, Joburg's certainly worth making a massive effort for. And it's been my lifelong passion to make South Africa work. And I know that the next frontier is Gauteng, and that makes Joburg pivotal to that frontier. And we can never, ever have South Africa working unless Gauteng works, and Gauteng can't work unless Joburg works. It's that simple.
It is that simple, and yet reality on the ground, having watched your interview with Anele, which I must say I've watched more than once, because I found it fascinating because I thought we had progressed further than identity politics when it comes to saving a city. I thought we all want the same things. We want clean water, roads that work, but maybe I'm coming from a position of white privilege. I don't know. Helen, how much longer is this inheritance?
No, you must understand, Simon, that this is a deflection tactic. If they can't get you on the issues, they turn to race. And that is, and when I say they, I mean people who hold a position that differ from me, whatever their color is. The minute they can't beat me on the facts and the argument, they turn to things like race and various other things.
I think that was the surprise to me, that where it came from. I wasn't expecting it from somebody of that caliber. That's what surprised me.
Anele is an old-fashioned race grifter. I mean, her whole family has been advantaged by the ANC's cater deployment policy and favoritism. I mean, race grift is in her DNA. I was ready for her, though. I know this kind of thing.
You certainly were, that's for sure. I thought, whatever happens today must happen. She just mustn't anelify me. I made up a new word because, boy, oh boy, you got to get back up on the horse after that. That's kind of difficult. Helen, what worries me, there's broken and then there's broken to its very, very core. If you can't put up a building in Johannesburg because you have to pay a construction mafia, if you can't vacate a building because it's been hijacked, how do you fix education if it's the principals who are doing the raping? Is there not a point at which it's so broken that it's a silly question because you're not that kind of a person. You will see the silver lining. I'm trying to think what my question is there, and I can't even think of it.
I don't think it's irreversible, Simon. I think that it's very broken, but you have to make incremental progress and fix things step by step. You've first got to start employing the right people in the right positions. You've got to get rid of cater deployment. You've got to have a transparent and accountable procurement system. You've got to fix the systemic issues underlying all the rot and corruption. And while you're doing that, people aren't going to see a huge difference immediately, but over time they will start seeing a big difference as things start improving. And that is what I intend to try to do. I'll give it my very best shot. I'll put together the best team I can possibly find. There are many, many people who are totally committed to Joburg. And as I say about Johannesburg, the very best thing about it is its people. They are so committed. You've got real social capital in Joburg. For every problem in Joburg, there's a committed group of citizens trying to solve that problem. And it is just extraordinary to see that.
So would you have a program, a 100-day program, where we, the residents, would see some sort of change immediately, or is that asking too much?
Well, you know me, I don't like gimmicks. You know, the 100-day thing is a gimmick, and, you know, Trump tried to get, I don't know how many executive orders in 100 days, and these things then come down as the yardstick. I mean, obviously, I'll try to do some visible things very quickly. Perhaps the most affordable thing to do that I have seen on the long list of things that have to be done is to try and fix the traffic lights, and that'll only cost $75 million. Now, of course, $75 million is a hell of a lot of money for a bankrupt city, but that's about the cheapest thing you can do. Other things are going to cost tens of millions and some hundreds of millions, and that is the big challenge. And with all these syndicates and the criminal mafia that have been running Joburg for a long time, we've got to seize the city back from those criminal networks. That is the biggest challenge of all. The other thing is this vandalism that goes down. I mean, for example, you had the uninterrupted power supply mechanism on almost every traffic light in Johannesburg.
Yeah.
They've all been stolen except five. Now, this is a problem when people lose civic pride and start vandalizing everything there is to vandalize. then you battle a bit because you fix problems and then they are self-created. But I know that the civil society groupings and the private sector are dying to do a hell of a lot. I walked through the central city of Johannesburg and I saw a vast difference between the areas that the private sector has redeveloped and the places that have gone to seed. And it really is like day and night, chalk and cheese. And that kind of partnership can step by step restore the whole of Johannesburg to decency and to some sense of order and cleanliness and functionality.
What gives me hope is the fact that you have a proven track record from Cape Town. I'm wondering to what extent the cultures are different, to what extent you can implement what you implemented there here, and to what extent you can't. Are there cultural differences and the like which will complicate issues for you?
Well, there are very big differences in that when we took over Cape Town from the ANC, it wasn't nearly as broken as Johannesburg is. The ANC had been in power, I think, for about 6 years, which wasn't enough time to destroy it entirely. They had started hollowing out middle management and putting in their cadres, but they hadn't completed the job by a long shot. There were still some very good public servants who understood the need for a professional public service that is non-aligned. They hadn't entirely captured the procurement system yet, although they were well on their way to doing so. And when we took over, it was still entirely fixable within the space of about 2 to 3 years, which was very, very helpful. We're on a much, much bigger challenge in Johannesburg. But as I say, I'm going to bring a lot of the people who helped me so well in Cape Town. For example, I've asked Ian Nielsen, who helped me turn around the city's finances in Cape Town. I've asked him to come up for a while and help me really analyze that budget and get a handle on it, because he understands municipal finance better than anyone else I know. Equally, JP Smith understands municipal safety better than anybody else I know. And I've gone to these people and I've said, look, you're experts in the field. I know something about it, but not nearly as much as you. Will you come up? Will you do some consulting in the mayor's office to help me get entirely on top of this challenge? And I will do that piece by piece, find the best experts I can throughout the whole of South Africa and get them to help me.
Just looking at my SMS line where listeners are able to contribute and ask questions. The one comment we've had from Jonathan is, and fix the inept and corrupt JMPD.
Yes, absolutely. That's exactly what I would have to do. And there's no better person in South Africa than JP Smith to help me.
I have something else for you from Werner, who is writing to us from Germany. He says, hi, Simon. I would like to ask Helen Ziller about, we're moving away from Joburg Municipality. We're going to a DA issue with this question, if you don't mind. He says, I'd like to ask Helen Ziller about Steenhuisen surrendering the DA leadership to perhaps Ivan Meyer and promoting a federal dispensation in South Africa ASAP. Your comment?
Werner, we promote a federal dispensation every single day in the Democratic Alliance. You've just heard us arguing the case for devolving policing powers to the provinces and to the metros. We're going all the way up to the Constitutional Court to achieve that. And I'm not here to talk about the leadership of the DA. The DA is one of the few parties that has congresses on a regular basis where all the delegates can vote for their leadership of choice. Action South Africa hasn't done that ever. COPE hasn't done that ever. Most parties haven't done that ever. And in the ANC Congresses, as Jacob Zuma revealed recently, it's just purchasing votes. You have to have hundreds of millions to buy the outcome of the election.
Politics. Yeah, patronage politics all the way.
No. That is the politics of extortion and bribery. That's worse than patronage. That's worse than patronage, much worse than patronage. So we're the actual only party in South Africa that holds regular congresses with free and fair and open elections. And we're the only party in which members who are delegated to go to Congress have a free and open choice. It is not for me to say who the leader should be. It is for the Congress to say who the leader should be.
Helen, I reckon you are, as a powerful woman, probably the most maligned and misrepresented person in the country. Whilst reading up on you a little earlier this week, I wondered, do you think your life would have been easier had you been born a man?
Probably, but you know, ifs really don't matter in life.
I knew you were going to
I'm
say
very happy
that.
To have been born a woman, and I don't think about it, you know. I just do my thing.
Yeah, you do.
And I know that there are a lot of patriarchs around who don't like it and band together and take up the cudgels, but it really doesn't bother me.
Last question.
I've never thought of being oppressed because I'm a woman, ever.
Silly question, because I knew that's what you were going to say. Final question for you. Just your connections to Johannesburg go far and deep. Just talk to them, if you would, for a minute or so.
Yes, well, I was born at 69 Esalen Street in Hillbrow, so that's really in the middle of the most decayed area of Joburg. My parents at that stage were living at 27 Second Street, Orange Grove. It's another place that's totally dilapidated now. Mm. Then they moved out to a little small holding in Livonia, where my dad literally had a pond dock on it and slowly built it up over time. Yeah. Then when I had my first flat, I moved back to Orange Grove in Hawthorne Street at a place called Eastbrook Court, number 6 Lord. Eastbrook Court.
You're as local as
and
they
get.
And
then I lived in Berea. Yes. I lived in Berea for a long time. I was at school in Johannesburg. I was at university in Johannesburg. You know, I'm a local girl.
I want to give the last word to our listener, Linda, who says, "Greetings, team, and my favorite politician with a capital P, Helen Zille. Oh, my gosh, I'm ready to weep just thinking about the city's revamp and all that you could do. Please, this one." Helen Zille, I absolutely echo her feelings. Good luck. Go do it for all of us. And thank you for your time this afternoon.
That's so kind. Now, listen, I just want to say this. If every person who voted DA in the last election brings just one other person who didn't vote DA in the last election, whether they stayed away or whether they voted for another party, if every person who voted for the DA in the last election brings just one more person to vote, we will be the biggest party by a considerable margin. So just everybody try and do that, and we'll be there.
Helen Zille, thank you so much. I'm going to bring a buddy.